Listen with me as one woman remembers a godly example that inspired her.
She just could not leave anyone without making sure that she had let them know who Jesus was. And now, that's precious to me.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, co-author of Seeking Him. For December 23rd, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. So who do you know who's been a godly example? Nancy's been introducing us to a godly woman from the Bible named Anna. And maybe you have one or many Annas in your life. Today, we'll get to know some other women who will remind you of Anna as we continue in this series from Luke 2 about the woman who welcomed Christ.
We've been talking about this wonderful example of a godly older woman, Anna, one of the first witnesses to the newborn Jesus Christ, and how God used this woman as such an example of faith in her day, but how she's blessed us today. And I've been thinking during the course of this series about some older women I've known who are modern-day Annas, and how God has used these women, not all of them widows, but in different ways, older women who've been faithful to the Lord. And I want to share with you a tribute that I wrote shortly after the death of one of these Annas, who was a very special woman in my life. And rather than just try and say it, I want to tell it to you the way that we wrote it. We actually published this in a Revive Our Hearts newsletter a couple of years ago. But let me tell you about this Anna in my life. One of my dearest friends recently went to be with the Lord at the age of 92. I knew Joyce Johnson as Mom J. Though she was not a public figure, she was one of my heroes and left an indelible mark on my life. Mom J was widowed in December 2004 after 64 years of marriage. I was able to visit her that February while I was in California for a meeting. We spent a couple precious hours together talking about what the Lord was doing in our lives. And by the way, at that time, I asked her how she was doing. This woman was so positive, so joyful. You couldn't get her to complain. She had just been to the doctor, and she said, "Everything's fine. I'm doing great." Well, less than a week later, she was diagnosed with leukemia, and within a few weeks was in the presence of the Lord. Mom J was an example of the countercultural woman we often talk about on Revive Our Hearts, a woman whose life was transformed and ruled by the Word of God rather than being conformed to this world. I share these qualities from her life in the hope that you will be blessed and challenged by the legacy of this woman of God as I have been, and that you will allow God to make you into a woman who brings Him great glory, as Mom J did. And then I just share here 10 or 11 characteristics out of her life briefly. Number one, she loved her husband and children. For over 60 years, quote, "the heart of her husband trusted in her. She did him good and not evil all the days of her life." And that, of course, is a verse from Proverbs 31. Her greatest joy was serving her family, and her greatest longing was that each of her children and grandchildren would have a personal, vital relationship with Christ. And then she had a servant's heart. Only the Lord knows how many meals she served and how many loads of laundry she ran for her husband, children, and others. For many years, she faithfully served as one of her church's money counters. Every Monday morning, for years, she joined a group of women to count Sunday's offerings. She was hospitable. When I was 17 years old, she and her husband invited me to come and live in their home while I attended my last 2 years of college in California. They were in their early 60s at the time. And I wasn't the last young person they took in. They housed assorted grandchildren and others at various times until they were well into their 80s. She learned to trust the sovereignty of God and to surrender to His choices. When the oldest of her 5 children was 17 years old, just a week before graduation from high school, she was killed in a car accident. Though they grieved the loss of Karen, Mom and Dad Jay always accepted this as God's will for their lives and refused to become bitter over their loss. And then she was an intercessor. She prayed for her husband, for her children and grandchildren, for her church, and for numerous ministries and missionaries. She was one of my most faithful, earnest prayer partners. She labored with me in prayer through the writing of most of my books. At her funeral, I said, only half jokingly, I don't know how I'll be able to write any more books. I already miss her prayers, and I have greatly missed her prayers. She was an encourager. Her frequent notes reminded me of her love and prayers. She often affirmed the grace and work of God in and through my life, and I wasn't the only one who was the beneficiary of her encouragement. She never stopped growing spiritually. Her relationship with the Lord was always fresh and growing. Her love for the Word increased over the years until she came to the point where she just couldn't get enough of the Scripture. When I visited her that last time, she excitedly showed me a new Bible she was reading and began reading aloud portions that had spoken to her heart. As she prayed for me while I wrote a book on holiness, she developed a new passion for holiness. She began marking in this Bible, this new Bible, every reference she could find to holiness, holy, clean, etc. For the better part of a year, she often wrote and shared her excitement and joy over what God was teaching her about holiness. This is in her early 90s. She had a grateful, contented spirit. You could not get Mom Jay to complain about anything. Even when her husband's health failed, which was the last several years of his life, and they had to move out of their home of 50 years. Occasionally, when someone from our staff would call to see how we could pray for her, she would respond, "I have more blessings than prayer requests." She was truly happy in God. She never retired from ministering to others. The last time we met, she told me excitedly, "I'm still mentoring a young woman." At 92, this was. Several years ago, her church asked for older women who were willing to invest in the lives of younger women. Mom Jay volunteered and was paired with a single gal in her 20s. The opportunity to invest her life in someone else brought her great joy and fulfillment and kept her from feeling useless. She was a giver. She and her husband had always enjoyed investing in the Lord's work together. Late in life, she received a small inheritance when a relative died. She found great joy in giving generously out of those resources. She began supporting Revive Our Hearts right from its inception. She never missed a month. In fact, and this was very touching to me, her last check arrived the day after her homegoing. She had signed it just days earlier. She aged with grace. So many people become increasingly brittle, negative, and self-absorbed as they get older. Not Mom Jay. I watched her become a more sweet, tender-hearted, loving, thoughtful, grateful, joyful woman. The older she got, the more sensitive she became to little things, quote, in her life that were not pleasing to the Lord. And she often shared those with me in her letters. And it was very convicting because here was this godly older woman that I thought of as so close to God. And she would write about the things God was convicting her of. And she had such a repentant and contrite heart as she would talk about those things. Mom Jay's life is a beautiful example of Proverbs 4:18. It says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." Mom Jay didn't fizzle out. Even as her body grew weaker, her spirit grew stronger and stronger. Hours before she died, I told her son-in-law, "I don't know anyone who is more ready for heaven than Mom Jay." Now she is experiencing the fullness of day. Her life will always challenge me to live a life that does not flicker out, but shines brighter and brighter until full day, when we will live forever in the light of His presence. That's my Anna. I've known others, but that was one special one in my life. And I'd like to hear from some of you. You didn't have a chance to write yours out, and that's just fine. And it doesn't need to be long, but as you think about someone that exemplifies one or more of the characteristics in the life of Anna, who would come to mind? And let me ask Holly if I can start with you.
Nancy referred earlier to Psalm 84, and as I was reading back through that psalm, I couldn't help but think that it was a perfect description of my mother-in-law, Jewel Eliff. And verse 4 says, "How happy are those who can live in your house, in your presence, always singing your praises. Happy are those who are strong in the Lord, who set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs where pools of blessing collect after the rains. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. And I had the privilege for about 25 years of knowing my mother-in-law, Jewel. And she went to be with the Lord about 22 years ago now, but still has left a lasting mark on my life. She was a pastor's wife for many, many, many years. And so her life was not always easy. She raised four children. And she literally was a woman who took the things that God allowed in her life and collected them. And if you read those verses in the New American, it says, they will make them a place of blessing. And that's what she chose to do. She took all those streams that God allowed into her life, even in valleys of weeping, because her life was not always rosy. As she got older, things were hard. My father-in-law at one point walked into sin, left mom, and married the other woman, eventually repented, and God restored him to our family. But there were years that were valleys of weeping in her life. And it was so precious to watch what she did with those years of weeping. And she literally did take those years of walking through those valleys and collect those tears and make them pools of blessing for other people. She had an unusual ability to take Jesus at his word and just do what he said. And so when she sat down before the Lord and opened her Bible, if God said, I will be sufficient, she believed that. And she lived her life out of that. And she taught us how to do that. She really gave us the freedom as we were walking through so many of those hard days. She gave us the freedom to forgive and to continue to love and to continue to pray and intercede for Billy's dad. It was about a 7-year process of God bringing him to repentance. And those were long, hard years. But mom's example of walking that path in the presence of God gave us the freedom and the encouragement to follow her and to live out of her example. She believed real strongly that worry was a sin. And there were so many times as Billy was pastoring and we were in hard places that mom would call and say, are you guys worrying about any of this? And if you said yes, she would say, well, you know, worry is a sin. And then she would go on to just encourage us to stand in faith before the Lord and to leave those things at the foot of the cross. She had a very sweet, winsome way about her, a tremendous sense of humor. Toward the end of her life, she had Alzheimer's and we took care of her. And I can remember so many times at really tough moments that could have been so tragic, we would just start laughing. Things became funny to us because they were so bizarre and so out of our control that we couldn't do anything about it, and we could just laugh. And that was very characteristic of her, even to the end of her life. And so she really was an Anna to me. She was a woman who exemplified that forward-looking faith in the Lord Jesus.
I guess I would have to say my mom. She was a very strong personality, but absolutely loved the Lord with her whole heart. I can remember all the time that she was alive. She died last year, a year ago, last Tuesday. She would always come up to you and say, well, what is the Lord doing in your life? What is the Lord saying to you? Or she would tell you what the Lord was doing in hers. Very hospitable. I can remember in college, we even had one international student live with us for several years, and they were always in and out of our house. She loved those students that came from other countries and would tell them about Jesus. But her absolute love was prophecy. Revelation was her absolute favorite book in the Bible, and she was a Bible study teacher and a Sunday school teacher and a counselor. So that I know she was so looking forward to heaven. I know that when that day came, I just wish I could have been a little birdie, you know, and could have seen how excited she would have been to actually go into the presence of the Lord that she'd been looking forward to for so long. And everywhere we went, she was always telling everyone about the Lord. I can remember as a teenager being embarrassed by that. She was always talking to someone, and she just could not leave anyone without making sure that she had let them know who Jesus was. And now, that's precious to me. I wish I had been more grateful for that at the time.
The Anna in my life was a lady that was our neighbor when I was a little girl growing up in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And her name was Violet Tatum. She had been the pastor's wife at our church, and her husband died quite tragically and unexpectedly of a complication from what should have been a minor surgery. And she found herself living in a parsonage, so she didn't own any place to live. And she had, I think, a 15-year-old, and her daughter was in college. And I've heard my mother tell many times, I was probably two or three when Dr. Tatum died, but about seeing her after the funeral and really hard week. And the next Sunday, she was right up in her place in the choir, singing in the alto section on the, you know, top row on the right, where she continued to sing every single Sunday for the next several decades. The thing I remember the most about her was going over to her house as a little girl. In the first place, I would go over there on Sunday afternoons. A lot of the time, I remember she would be laying on the couch, and I'm sure she was thrilled to see me. But she acted like she was. And she had been to the Holy Land several times, and she had things in her home that were from the Holy Land, and she told me about every one of them, and I just thought they were fascinating. She told me fascinating stories about what the Mount of Olives looked like and what Bethlehem looked like and, you know, all those kinds of things. So she influenced me in lots of ways, but that was one that I'll never forget.
I was teaching school overseas in Australia, and my life wasn't really lined up with the Lord. I just went over there on a whim to teach school, but while I was over there, God really got a hold of my heart and my life, and someone in their wisdom hooked me up with their Aunt Hilda. And I remember when I first went to meet her, she had an office in the city. I got a shock because she was very old. She was in her mid-60s. Of course, I was in my early 20s, and the older women that I had known that were Christians, they didn't resemble her at all. She had such joy in the Lord. It was just thrilling for me to sit there with Hilda. And just to give you an idea, she never married. She was always single. She never had any Bible training, never went to Bible college or anything, but she rented at a very young age an office in the city, downtown Brisbane, where she knew that she could start having Bible studies during lunchtimes and after work hours for young women to come and meet her. And she had her office open all day long so people could just drop in and out all day long for spiritual encouragement or counseling, as we would call it today. And what I really remember most about my years there in Australia with Hilda was, first of all, she just loved God and she loved His Word. And no matter when we would be together over coffee or tea or lunch, she'd be rattling off this. She'd just weave God's Word into whatever she was talking about. And I would say, wait a minute, Hilda, where's that verse? Oh, Kathy, I don't know. It's in the Bible, but more important, it's in my life and it should be in yours too. You go find it. You'll find your own verses and you live it out and you obey God's Word. And so even today, I love memorizing scripture, but I cannot tell you where it's found. And I attribute that to my mentor, Hilda, because she didn't care where it was, so I don't either, as long as I know it and believe it. And then the other thing real quickly about Hilda is she was forever rejoicing in the Lord. She really taught me what that meant. She was always full of the joy of the Lord and encouraging me and everyone else to rejoice in the Lord. And this is Hilda. She had gotten moved against her will into a retirement home. She couldn't live alone anymore, and her sisters put her there. But she said, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. This is a new mission field. I'm here because these people need to hear about the Lord. Shortly after that, I found out she got Alzheimer's, and I never heard from her again. But her last words to me were, Kathy, remember to rejoice in the Lord. Promise me you'll keep rejoicing.
That was the late Kathy Helvey. Those who knew Kathy watched as she rejoiced in the Lord even after being diagnosed with cancer. She was marked by joy and pointing others to the Lord to the end of her days, just like Anna. We've been hearing a discussion between some of our listeners and Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth. It's part of a teaching series from Nancy called Anna, the Woman Who Welcomed Christ. Now, if you missed any episodes, you can go to reviveourhearts.com to listen to or to read them. Not long ago, a man wrote to tell us how God has used this ministry in his life. He knows Revive Our Hearts is a program for women, but as a retired man, he said, I make a point of listening to your program on Moody Radio every day. In challenging times, he found encouragement through Revive Our Hearts. He went on to write, hearing people speak from their hearts on their experiences with Christ fills in certain voids in my life like no other radio program I know. You know, Nancy, it takes many people all working together to connect listeners like this man with a teaching on Revive Our Hearts.
Yeah, that's so true. For starters, there's a whole team of people that work together to bring you Revive Our Hearts each weekday. And I want to just say how deeply grateful I am for each person who has helped to support Revive Our Hearts here in the month of December. Our goal is to meet our year-end need of $2 million. I know there are many people who have been praying, and perhaps you've been wondering how the match is going. As we come to the last week of this month, if you'd like to keep updated on where we are on that challenge, you can visit us at reviveourhearts.com.
Oh, Nancy, I'm checking it out right now. I'm looking at our progress, and there's not many days left, but I'm still trusting the Lord that He'll speak to just the right people to help us cross that finish line. Friend, if you haven't given towards these year-end needs yet, would you pray about making a generous gift between now and December 31st? You know, we've all had challenges this year, some more than others, but it's clear to us this year and every year that Christ is King. And others need to know that in the depths of their hearts. Whatever the next year holds for you, Jesus is King forever. You can join us in spreading that promise of hope to listeners everywhere. Just go to our website, reviveourhearts.com, to make a donation, or call us at 1-800-569-5959. We hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you, Dana. Well, the Bible tells older women to engage life to life in the spiritual growth of younger women. But how does that work in real life? We'll hear some examples from more modern-day Annas tomorrow.
And let me just issue a challenge to those younger women, maybe moms who think they don't have time to start becoming an Anna. Let me encourage you that you do. What you're not going to have are those large blocks of quiet to pray, so don't wait for those. But you will have tiny moments of quiet. Sometimes I have to go in my closet to get those, but you will have tiny moments of quiet. And so take advantage of developing the heart to be an Anna as you get older. But it doesn't start when you're 50.
Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.